And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on our program, Claudio Rodriguez speaks with Judith Bishop about new exhibitions coming to the Frost Art Museum at FIU. Bob Weinberg gives us a preview of the premier Sunshine Blues Festival at Meisner Park next weekend. And our calendar today features Andy Newman with enticing art and cultural events in the beautiful Florida Keys. With a mission to preserve, protect, and promote the cultural, social, economic, environmental, and architectural integrity of the Miami Beach Architectural Historic District, the not-for-profit Miami Design Preservation League was incorporated on May 6, 1977. Barbara Bear Capitman and her son John gathered a legion of supporters who ushered in a revival, in effect, for South Beach, and really the rest is history. The annual celebration of all things Art Deco takes place January 18th through the 20th with the 36th annual Art Deco weekend. And with us here today to talk about all that excitement is Amanda Bush of the Miami Design Preservation League. And welcome back to the show, Amanda.
Thank you for having me again. It's nice to see you again.
It's our pleasure. Now, bring us up to date with what has happened over the past year with the MDPL, the Miami Design Preservation League.
Well, we've had a lot of exciting projects over the past year. One of my favorite projects is the Miami Beach Visual Memoirs documentary and exhibit that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a documentary that tells the story of Miami Beach through the memories of the people who have lived and worked here over the years.
Wow.
So it's really interesting, and actually it will be on exhibit, and the documentary will be playing during Art Deco weekend in the Art Deco Welcome Center.
So it is a video as well as a pictorial exhibition. And
right, yes, it's an 8-minute documentary that's going to be playing in loop, and
mm-hmm.
then on the walls we have different panels that give some of the background of some of the people that were interviewed and some great little tidbits of history and some pictures of vintage postcards and people's high school yearbook pictures and other really great little memories that we were able to keep from our different interviewees.
Sure. Well, I must say I'm impressed because you as the marketing director have just about taken over the Art Deco Fest, and you have put together a heck of a show. I can't believe all the different elements you pulled together over the course of the whole year. Aren't you exhausted?
Yes, it's been a lot of work, but we have a really great team at MDPL,
uh-huh.
and we've worked really hard, and we're really excited to have this weekend next weekend, invite everybody down to Ocean Drive.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start talking about it in our few minutes with you. Of course, all year long, you're offering Art Deco tours, and they will continue each and every week from Art Deco Central at 10th and Ocean, your beautiful facility.
Right. Yes, we offer the official Art Deco walking tour every single day,
mm-hmm.
All year round. But during Art Deco weekend, not only do we offer the Art Deco walking tour, but we have several specialty tours that we offer. This year, we have some great new ones that we're just presenting for the first time, like Deco Nights and Neon Lights. We have a new Jewish Miami Beach tour. We have a new Lincoln Road Reinvented Yet Again tour. And, of course, we're bringing back the popular ones like Cocktails with a Twist, our Coach Tour, the Underworld Tour, and a few others. So we welcome you to go to our website, artdecoweekend.com, and look at all the tours. They're all for sale online, or you can come down to the weekend and get your tickets when you're there.
And tickets are quite reasonably priced. And, of course, go to the not-for-profit to support the Miami Design Preservation League.
Right. Yep. It goes right back to support our efforts at MDPL.
Do you have a favorite tour?
Now,
that might get you in trouble. Okay, so every Art Deco weekend each and every year has so many different components. You always have a lot of great music. You always have a great lecture series. And, of course, the street parade, we want to say it's exciting to have Michael Aller as your grand marshal this year. You've got a classic car show. You've got History Miami coming over and having a map fair that promotes their endeavor?
Yes, they're having their international map fair. And at Art Deco Weekend, they're just going to be showing, components of that map fair that they'll be promoting. Mm-hmm. That will be actually in the U.S. Antiques tent, which is new.
So you brought in an antique show on top of all the other
fun. We brought
in
an antique show. Wow. They have a giant tent down by 6th Street on Ocean. And they're going to be bringing in their top vendors with beautiful antiques that they'll be showing all weekend long. And History Miami will be right in there with them with their map fair.
Wow, that's a wonderful collaboration. Is that a new offering from
it's
you all?
It's brand new. We're really excited about it, and we hope it will last for years to come.
The lecture series is always intriguing. You have great authorities coming in from, all over the world to tell us more about Art Deco history.
Yes, one of our wonderful board members, Michael Knark, put together a wonderful lecture series. We have some great people like Kenneth Treister, who's an architect and author and artist, mm-hmm. and he'll be talking on Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Wolfsonian. All our lectures are at the Wolfsonian. We are bringing back Robin Hill, who did a lecture for us earlier in the year. He's a photographer. He knows a ton about the MIMO architecture, and we're really excited about that one, too, mm-hmm. which is Saturday at 1 o'clock. But we have 5 lectures, so please check them out at artdecoweekend.com. They're all really great.
Artdecoweekend.com, also mdpl.org if you want to find out more about this incredible not-for-profit organization preserving, protecting, and promoting all things Art Deco and Miami Beach, the Architectural Historic District. Also on Twitter at Art Deco Weekend and Facebook at Art Deco Weekend.
Yep.
Is this correct?
Mm-hmm.
And let's continue on with a ton of music next weekend. Starting Friday, you're bringing in some wonderful out-of-towners to perform, as well as some great locals, Swenelo and others.
Yes, Swenelo will be on Sunday, which is kind of more a relaxed beach groovy day. We have Swenelo. We have Alex Baum, the Crazy Carls. Friday night, we're kicking it off with a jazz night with people like the Decotones, Beverly Lewis in the mix, Adam Falcon, Christian Howes, Michael Orta, and Sarah Jane. It's just a really great lineup, and it's really what Art Deco Weekend is about, the music, mm-hmm. that jazz music. So we're excited about Friday night. Saturday, we also have some great music coming in. We have Christian Howes performing again, David Pastorius, DJ Rampage.
David Pastorius, Jocko's nephew.
That's right.
So that's going to be some great jazz fusion.
Yes. So it's a lot of different types of music, and it will fit everybody's taste. So there's something for everybody.
Tell us a little bit more about the music on Sunday. You mentioned Earth Code, I think, and who else will be offered Sunday, as well as Swenelo?
Sunday we have Earth Code, which is a world jazz fusion funk quartet. Tim Charon, which is like a country rock singer.
Hmm.
Razzle Dread, which is reggae. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we have Alex Baugh and the Crazy Carls, which is kind of reggae rock. Phantasm. DJ Rampage again, and Swenelo, and Doug Wimbish, who is headlining.
So a nice mix of diversity of,
right.
mm-hmm. of wonderful music everybody loves. This year, what's the fashion show going to be like?
So the fashion show this year, we're working with Betty Page Clothing, which designs retro clothing for modern women.
Is that the new German company out of Germany, do you know of?
I don't believe
okay.
so.
Okay. Because there's all sorts of things bubbling about the iconic Betty Page.
Yeah.
New things going on. Bravo Bunny Yeager, who launched her decades ago.
Yeah. We had Bunny Yeager's exhibit actually last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the fashion show has these, we picked out some great 30s and 40s designs.
Mm.
We have some pageant winners that will be our models this year. And we have some great jewelry. It's Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Art Deco Welcome Center. So we hope everyone will come. It's free. Most things are free.
Now, also at the Art Deco Welcome Center, 10th and Ocean, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got several exhibitions ongoing throughout. Tell me a little bit more about those.
Yes. At the Art Deco Welcome Center, we are going to have our third annual Art Deco and MIMO Furniture Expo, which is presented by Modernism.com. Absolutely gorgeous period pieces, everyone has to come see them. It's unbelievable. We're so lucky to have them back again. And then we're having our visual memoirs exhibit, which I talked about earlier, which will also be on exhibit in the Art Deco Welcome Center all 3 days.
Gosh, it seems like a small location, but it's big with all of these different exhibitions going on. And I love the renovations that you all did a number of years ago. Now it's bigger, it's brighter, it's more open. It's just a gorgeous location at 10th and Ocean, the Art Deco Center. Now we go on to next, the Leslie Hotel projection.
Yes. So this last year, the owner of the Leslie Hotel, Juan Pablo, came to us kind of last minute and had this great idea about this 3D projection on his building. We kind of let him run with it, and it was absolutely amazing. They do this video projection right on the building. It fills the whole building, and it's about 8 minutes, and it's unbelievable. It was one of the biggest hits of the festival, so he's coming back this year. We really worked with him on the video. It's really fun, but even a little bit educational this year. Has some really great music, and that will be happening every night after dark, every half an hour. So
more information at mdpl.org, but their primary site for all things Art Deco Weekend can be found at artdecoweekend.com. You can call them locally at 305-531-3484. Our guest, Amanda Bush, Director of Marketing. And in our last moment, what can we rush through? Classic car show, children's area?
We have a huge children's area of live performances. We have the Children's Museum. We have the Seaquarium. We have the Marlins coming out to play t-ball. It's going to be great. Also, we have a gala on Saturday, January 19th. Tickets are still on sale. We have a few left, so make sure you grab those if you want to come. It's 1920s themed speakeasy. It's going to be fabulous.
Fun, and that's a big fundraiser for the Miami Design Preservation
League. We have some great sponsors like Sol, Casasha, New Brazilian Company, and about 10 different restaurants like Wynwood Kitchen and Bar, Egg and Dart, and some other great ones. So you can't miss that.
Well, Amanda, I don't know how you can top this for next year. I mean, you've got so many different marvelous elements in Art Deco Weekend for next weekend, January 18th, 19th, and 20th, happening on Ocean Drive, but at the Wolfsonian and so many other areas, the Leslie Hotel you mentioned. Congratulations. Good luck on another fantastic Art Deco Weekend. More info at artdecoweekend.com. And Ms. Amanda Bush, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
On South Florida Arts Beat.
Thanks so much.
South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, our music contributor Bob Weinberg has a preview of a new world-class blues festival coming to Meisner Park. Today's calendar features Andy Newman with art and cultural events in the Florida Keys. Right now, Florida International University's Jewel of an Art Museum has a busy season. We welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat contributor Judith Bishop to tell us more.
Shakespeare wrote, "What's in a name?" Most of us use shorthand and simply call it the Frost, but its full name is the Philip and Patricia Frost Art Museum at Florida International University. And that's a very important distinction, because the full name honors the two philanthropists who do so much for Miami and the educational institution that gives the museum a home. The mission of the Frost Museum is to enrich the university and the community. It was founded in 1977 as a small student gallery. Now its permanent collection numbers more than 6,000 pieces, and the museum won national acclaim when it became an affiliate of the prestigious Smithsonian in Washington. As the collection grew over the years, the need for more space was paramount. The current building opened in 2000. It's 46,000 square feet with large galleries that house permanent and rotating exhibitions. Here to talk about the Frost and the upcoming shows, it's curator Claudio Rodriguez. Claudio Rodriguez, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. It's great to have you with us. And you at the Frost have a huge calendar coming up with lots of exciting events. But first, we're going to take a little detour. One of the things I like best about my job is I get to find out about other people's jobs. We all know the word curator, but what goes on behind the scenes? How do you select an exhibition? Do you go after it aggressively and say, we want that? Did the artists come to you and try to pitch it? Or is it a combination of both?
Well, thank you first. Thank you for having me back. I'm very excited to be here. It's an interesting process. It's a multi-layered process. It happens in various different ways. Sometimes we conceptualize a museum, an exhibit. We create some kind of thematic framework that we want to work under, and we pursue the works that fit within that framework. Sometimes artists do approach us, and if we find that, you know, it fits within what we're doing, you know, we'll go out that route. But it's a variety of different ways that we approach it. For example, this year coming up, it was all under the umbrella of the celebrating the 500 years of Florida, so all the exhibits had to fit within that framework. So it depends. It varies on we're working as an institution, but for the most part, we pursue the art and the artists that we want.
It's sort of like our business. There's a newsmaker or an artist of the moment. Everyone wants the big get. So you go aggressively after someone and you say, we want his work or her work in our museum next season.
Sure. Of course, there's a lot of considerations that go into that. But yes, I mean, if there's something that we really want, we aggressively pursue it and try to present it to our audience.
Is it competitive? Are museums nationwide going after the same artists that you've targeted?
I haven't found it to be competitive in that way. No, not really. I wouldn't say it's competitive in that way. I mean, there is competition to put on a good show, of course. But as far as fighting over an artist per se, it's not something that happens often.
This is kind of a delicate question. Does money change hands? Do you pay the artist for the privilege of showing the work, or does the artist pay you for the exposure?
No. Short of it, no. I mean, we'll pay an artist if it's a site-specific installation, for example, something where we are commissioning the artist to create for the museum. But as far as, no, there is no payment that takes place between the artist or the museum itself. I mean, that's sort of what makes us a museum, I guess. It would be we're an educational institution, so it's an exchange of ideas.
And you have some great ideas this year. You have a thematic year celebrating 500 years, concentrating on Spanish, Caribbean, and Florida art. And how did you come to this particular concept?
Well, this is something that's being celebrated actually throughout Florida. It's the 500th anniversary of Ponce de Leon arriving on Florida's shore. So it's a 500-year anniversary. There's a celebration that are happening, as I said, throughout the state. So it's not something just unique to us. And this is our part in it. We were approached by the Spain Florida Foundation. They're one of our people that we work with. So we sat down and we decided to start conceptualizing exhibits that are all based on that idea of Florida, Spain, and the Caribbean. So it includes artists either from Spain, the Caribbean, Florida, and so on to fit within that framework.
And a big one coming up is Agustin Fernandez and his drawings. Can you tell us a little bit about his background and his work?
Sure. Agustin Fernandez, we have an opening this Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m., and he's one of the more respected Cuban artists. He's passed away several years ago. He's one of the masters of Cuban art, and these are one of his seldom seen. He's largely known for his paintings, and these are some of his works on paper, some of his charcoal drawings on paper, which is a little bit different from his works. He still uses the same imagery and the same ideas that he worked with in his artwork. But like I said, this is an opportunity to be able to see this different kind of work that he produces.
Does he produce portraits, scenes, abstractions?
It's difficult to explain. He has his own sort of imagery that he creates. It's semi-abstract. It's not necessarily portraits. It's I guess, surreal. His imagery is unique to him. His visual language deals with the erotics of desire and vulnerability.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and the opening is this weekend.
Yes.
And I know you're expecting a full house, but it is open to the public, and admission is free.
Yes, from 5 to 8 this Saturday, we will have a reception with wine and cheese. And it, like you said, open to the public. Please come and visit us.
Excellent. Another Spanish artist, a multimedia artist, which I know is very, very popular these days, certainly with Art Basel, there was plenty of that. Javier Velasco?
Yes, Javier Velasco. He's a Spanish artist. He's a multimedia artist, but in this, we have commissioned him to create a site-specific installation in the lobby of the museum. And he works with glass rods. And actually, the interesting part of this project is that he's this week he's currently actually in the building, in the museum, and he has a workshop, and he's working with the art students from the university, and they're creating works of art along with him. And these works were going to be hung suspended from the ceiling above in the lobby of the museum. And he will be working in this workshop this week, and then the following week will be installing in the lobby of the museum. And then the opening will be February 27th, the grand unveiling of the exhibit. And it's really beautiful. There's these fragile glass tubes that he creates. They're ephemeral. They're fragile. They sort of reference nature. They look like branches, and it's sort of referencing the fragility of nature as well. So I think it'll be a beautiful installation. It'll be in the lobby, like I said, of the museum. So when you walk in, look straight up above and you'll see it.
Well, your lobby is so beautiful. You've got the grand staircase. You've got the large window looking out on nature. So you'll be bringing the outside in and the inside
absolutely,
out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's great that these students have a chance to become involved in it. There's nothing like hands-on from a great master.
Absolutely. And that's one of the great things of being in a university setting, in a university museum, that we have our students are available these opportunities. They're able to interact with the artists. They're able to interact with the exhibits. So it's a really good dynamic. And I'm glad he's here.
Well, another dynamic that you will be featuring is Spanish photography. Tell us about the artist and the nature of his work.
Yes, also during the opening of February 27th, there will be the work of José Manuel Ballester. And this one is a really, really interesting show. It references a lot of different things, but he uses art historical works. For example, works by, let's say, Guernica by Picasso, or The Wrath of the Medusa by Jericho, or Bosch's Garden of Earthly Delights. And then what he does is he photographs these works and he reproduces them in large scale. But what he's doing is he removes the human figures from the paintings. So he uses a very complex mathematical equation to imagine what was behind the figure. In other words, it's not as simple as peeling off the figure out of the painting, correct? You got to imagine what the artist would have conceptualized behind the painting, and then he has to recreate the background. So what happens is he's now focusing on what was considered secondary at that point, which is the background, the landscape, the form, the architecture. So you'll have, imagine The Last Supper by Da Vinci, and he removes all the figures, and all you're left with is an empty table. So he's using a lot of the masterworks, The Virgin of the Rocks, The Meninas by Velázquez, and he removes all the figures from all the paintings. And then they'll, like I said, they're in large scale. They're talking about 8-10 feet across paintings.
That's a unique concept.
Absolutely. It's going to be spectacular. And that opens on February 27th as well with the rest of it. We also have a Eugene Savage opening that same day as well. So we have a lot of openings that day.
And anything else in the March, April?
Yes, we have a few smaller exhibits. We have Spanish Colonial Art, The Beauty of the Two Traditions, opening in April. And I'd like to make mention also, I'm sorry, before we get to March and April, on February 20th, I believe, we're also having a fundraising mixer for something we call Save Our Sculptures, which is an initiative we started to repair sculptures in the University Museum Park. As you're aware, we have a large outdoor sculpture park. And the first one we decided to use was a sculpture called Journey's End by Elin Averbuch. The sculpture is in poor shape, and we're trying to raise funds for it. As a museum, you know, of course, that we're not very wealthy, and our budget is very limited. And we have this initiative. It's called SOS, again, Save Our Sculpture. And on Wednesday, at February 20th at 5:30, we're going to have a little fundraiser and a mixer for this event. And it's an event that's going to include drinks and music. And we ask for a donation at the door to help us save our sculptures.
Well, that sounds like a worthy venture and a great time with some wonderful art. We thank you so much for joining us today, Claudio Rodriguez, on South Florida Arts Beat. Our best to you and to everyone at the Frost Museum at FIU.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
The Frost Museum is located on the FIU campus in Miami at Southwest 107th Avenue and 16th Street. It's open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they open the doors at noon and close at 5. For more information, call 305-348-2890 or log on to thefrost.fiu.edu. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist and executive producer who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. She has produced documentaries for WNET and is currently a contributor to WLRN-TV, Channel 17.
We'll be back with more South Florida Arts Beat exclusively on WLRN right after these messages.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. Ed Bell with you. Later on the show, Andy Newman has great event suggestions for your consideration on our Florida Keys calendar. The entertainment conglomerate Live Nation throws its hat into the Blues Festival ring next weekend with the premiere of the Sunshine Blues Festival in Meisner Park, Saturday, January 19th. Here's our contributor Bob Weinberg with the details.
More than 20 years ago, a blonde, toe-headed kid named Derek Trucks clambered on stage at Hollywood's Club M. Peering out from beneath the brim of a baseball cap, an 11-year-old Trucks laced into a set of screaming slide guitar blues rock, reviving the spirit of Duane Allman, who had died nearly a decade before he was born. But certainly the connection was there. After all, Trucks was the nephew of Allman Brothers drummer Butch Trucks, and with a Corseden bottle slipped over his sliding finger, his ability to conjure Allman's cutting tone was uncanny. During a break, I stepped outside to escape the smoky confines of the club. A few minutes later, Trucks followed. Chewing on a plastic straw, his sneakers untied, he looked very much like a little kid up past his bedtime. He eyed the display items in the window of the neighboring vintage toy store and remarked how he really would like to have an Erector set for his birthday. Flash forward to the present, and Jacksonville native Trucks is blues rock royalty. He's married to guitarist and vocalist Susan Tedeschi, the couple winning a Grammy, recording with Herbie Hancock, performing at the White House, and headlining events like the upcoming Sunshine Blues Festival, which takes over Boca Raton's Meisner Park on January 19th. In its first year, the Live Nation-sponsored event will command stages next week in Fort Myers, Boca Raton, and St. Petersburg, with a promising lineup that makes it a welcome addition to the crowded field of Florida blues festivals. South Florida in particular has seen plenty of blues activity of late, with the inaugural Las Olas Blues Fest also taking place next weekend, and the 23rd edition of the Riverwalk Blues Fest getting underway in February. In addition to the Tedeschi Trucks Band, the Sunshine Blues Fest roster features some other acts with strong regional ties, including original Allman Brothers drummer J-Mo Johansson. While Duane and Greg Allman were born in Nashville, they grew up in Daytona Beach, where their love for blues and R&B was nurtured in the black nightclubs of the city. The Allman Brothers Band began taking shape in Jacksonville, coalescing around jams with local musicians Dickie Betts, Barry Oakley, and Butch Trucks. And when they formed the band in Macon, Georgia in 1969, they took plenty of heat from the good old boys for the presence of their second drummer, the improbably named African-American soul veteran J. Johanny Johansson, better known as J-Mo. Along with Butch Trucks, J-Mo provided the propulsive beats and snazzy syncopations that drove the band's sophisticated blend of blues, southern rock, and jazz fusion. Growing up in Mississippi, J-Mo developed a passion for jazz, and he found plenty of space for creative improvisation within the Allmans. In fact, he named the latest iteration of his band J-Mo's Jazz Band, utilizing an early spelling of the genre that injects a few S's into the word. However, the band doesn't play old-timey jazz, but rather continues in the mode of the Allmans, blending blues, modern jazz, and southern rock in a pleasing combination. On their excellent 2011 release, Renaissance Man, the group digs into a ripping rendition of Sleepy John Estes's Leaving Trunk. They also offer gorgeous versions of Greg Allman's Melissa and Tony Joe White's Rainy Night in Georgia. The band is helmed by the stinging lead guitar and rich vocals of Junior Mack, whose original Drifting and Turning rivals anything in the Allman's songbook for lyrical loveliness. Wood Brothers, too, blend genres with deceptive ease. Comprising the Colorado-born siblings Oliver and Chris Wood, the pair have released a handful of completely engaging roots recordings that effectively combine blues, acoustic music, and jazz. Oliver Wood's charmingly adenoidal vocals and deft picking on acoustic and national steel guitars receive resonant and often funky support from Brother Chris's upright bass. The pair work out on Oliver's clever original tunes and highly individualized reads of favorites by Dylan and Hendrix. And with resumes including the Southern funk rock outfit King Johnson and Medeski, Martin, and Wood respectively, Oliver and Chris can also be linked, Kevin Bacon-like, to South Florida. King Johnson's Chris Long toured and performed with Hollywood's own one-night stand Waldman, while John Medeski grew up in Fort Lauderdale. Way out sleeping, my back and shoulders tied. For the past few years, guitarist Bobby Lee Rogers has been headquartered in South Florida, regaling Fort Lauderdale audiences with regular jazz trio performances at the Green Room, where he pays tribute to heroes such as Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Thelonious Monk. Rogers' jazz roots run deep. At age 23, he was among the youngest jazz studies instructors to ever teach at Berklee College of Music. Of course, his greatest fame came as a founding member of the roots jam band Colonel Bruce Hampton and the Code Talkers. He'd embark on a successful solo career launched at the Wani Music Fest in 2009. After his gig at Sunshine Blues Fest in Boca, Rogers performs that evening with New Orleans favorites Galactic at Revolution in Fort Lauderdale. The Sunshine Blues Festival also recruited a few artists from across the Gulf. At age 72, Dr. John has never been hipper. The New Orleans icon last year released Locked Down, a recording in collaboration with Dan Auerbach of Black Keys fame that revives the spooky aura of the Night Tripper and reinvests the Ethiopian jazz elements that marked the Good Doctor's early work. Having grown up in Southwest Louisiana, Mississippi-born slide guitarist Sonny Landreth developed a sound that's influenced equally by blues, Cajun, and Zydeco forms. A superb songwriter, Landreth calls up the imagery and vernacular of his adopted homeland, as well as its unique sonic footprint. On his latest recording, Elemental Journey, Landreth's biting lyrical slide blends styles from blues and jazz to Cajun and reggae. Updating the sound of the traditional New Orleans brass band, Big Sam's Funky Nation brings the sounds of Bourbon Street to Boca. Big Sam Williams, former trombonist with the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, folds the sounds of funk, soul, and hip-hop into an ecstatic blend of nasty horn-fueled grooves. The band's aptly titled 2010 CD, King of the Party, includes tunes such as Crunked Up, Big Ol' Booty, and Work It. And of course, no Blues Fest would be complete without guitar heroes. Walter Trout, Sean Chambers, and British blues king Nat Schofield all will showcase their string magic at Meisner. And don't miss flame-throwing guitarist and vocalist Joe Louis Walker, who continues to craft exciting original blues rock with soul and gospel intensity, as evidenced by his 2012 recording Hellfire. Sunshine Blues Festival takes place at Meisner Park Amphitheater in Boca Raton on Saturday, January 19th. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit sunshinebluesfestival.com. This is Bob Weinberg for South Florida Arts Beat.
Bob Weinberg is a writer and editor for Jazz Is Magazine and the online publication Jazz and Blues Florida. You can contact him at bobweinberg@mac.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.
I'm moving on.
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we welcome back Mr. Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council to fill us in on all the excitement in the beautiful Florida Keys. Hello, Andy.
How are you? And Happy New Year to you, Ed.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You know what? We've got so many different events up and down the fabulous Florida Keys. We're going to go ahead and just save the small talk and get right into it.
Roll on.
Let's talk about we've got four culinary events in the Florida Keys in January.
Wow.
First of all, Uncork, the Key Largo and Isla Mirada Food and Wine Festival. That actually began last night. It continues through Saturday, January 19th, and it's featuring more than 30 palate-pleasing events. I say that 100 times, by the way. highlights of this festival includes Bill the Softball Wharton performance at Sundowners in Key Largo. There is also a Dine Around Town. It's a progressive dinner in Isla Mirada. And also the festival's grand tasting finale at Isla Mirada's Postcard Inn. And that'll be on Saturday, January 19th, to close out this incredible culinary and wine event. Now, also the 8th Annual Florida Keys Seafood Festival, that'll be staged in Key West Bayview Park from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday, January 19th. And then the 4th Annual Key West Food and Wine Festival, that's set for Thursday through Sunday, January 24th to the 27th. They're going to showcase the local chef's culinary flair, of course, using indigenous Florida Keys ingredients, premium wines from around the world, and also many different types of food-related adventures. There's Duval Uncorked. It's a stroll down Key West, renowned Duval Street from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic Ocean, having the opportunity to step in and try out different fairs and restaurants, bars, galleries, and boutiques. There'll also be an outdoor wine market, multi-course wine dinners, and a wacky afternoon of coconut bowling, and all capped off by the MasterChef's classic tasting and competition. And then finally, on January 26th to the 27th, it's the last weekend, the Key Largo Stone Crab and Seed Food Festival. There'll be fresh local seafood, live musical entertainment, cooking demonstrations, contests, kids' activities. It's all sponsored by Key Largo Fisheries and the Key Largo Merchants Association. It'll be at Rouse Marina, mile marker 104.5 Bayside in Key Largo. Some other events going on up and down the Florida Keys in the theater. Today and tomorrow, the Red Barn Theater is presenting Oil City Symphony. That's in Key West. Also in Key West, the Waterfront Playhouse will be presenting Alfred Hitchcock's The 39 Steps. A big literary event in Key West this month. Actually started last night through January 20th. It is the 31st annual Key West Literary Seminar. It's exploring the theme this year, Writers on Writers. Here are some of the standout panelists. They include two-term U.S. Poet Laureate Billy Collins, American biographer and critic Phyllis Rose, and Irish novelist Colm Tóibín. It's sold out for this first session. This is two sessions, by the way, the 10th through the 13th, so that's going on now, and then the 17th to the 20th. Registration sold out for the first session, but it's still open for the second session. And this Sunday and next Sunday, there will be free presentations and discussions by some of the seminar's leading authors. This is all at the San Carlos Institute, by the way. Those Sunday presentations are open, free to the public, but it will be first come, first served. In conjunction with the 31st Annual Key West Literary Seminar, Saturday through January 20th, the Gallery on Green Street is offering up a special gallery exhibition, the artworks of various Key West Pulitzer Prize winners, such as Tennessee Williams, Annie Dillard, and Jeff McNally. Also in Key West tonight, the South Florida Symphony is presenting Natasha Peremsky. This is a performance by the Russian-born pianist, and it'll be at the Tennessee Williams Theater. still tonight up the Florida Keys Overseas Highway, some 50 miles in Marathon. The Marathon Community Theater is presenting the Gordon Ross Cabaret. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., for those running aficionados that are in the WLRN listening audience, it is the No Name Race on No Name Key. It's a 5K walk run that benefits the Monroe County Domestic Abuse Shelter. If you want to run a little bit longer race, head on down to Key West for the Bone Island Triathlon again tomorrow morning. Still Saturday, as in tomorrow, Ed. We've got so many events this weekend. Tomorrow, the Music Video Festival at the Marathon Community Park. That will start at 11 a.m. and run through 10 p.m. Actually, it's Saturday and Sunday. Still Saturday, back down to Key West we go. It's the car show featuring the Florida Keys Southernmost Car Club. And on Sunday in Key West, the impromptu classic concerts of Key West presents the Harlem Quartet. Still in Key West, Ed, on Sunday, and it's one of the continuing series of Sunday film festivals at the Florida Keys Eco Discovery Center as they present their free environmental film series. Ed, we're done with events this coming weekend, so let's take you back to Key West for Wednesday, January 16th, the Waterfront Playhouse is presenting Fiona Malloy in All Kinds of Wonderful. Next Thursday, January 17th, it's the Maraudaway Arts and Cultural District's monthly Third Thursday Art Walk, a great event. And I'll tell you something, it's beautiful time of the year right now for that evening stroll in the Maraudaway Arts and Cultural District. And in Marathon, next Thursday through February 9th, the Marathon Community Theater is presenting Five Women Wearing the Same Dress. Another popular event down in Key West next Friday and Saturday, January 18th to the 19th, the 53rd Annual Key West Historic House and Garden Tours. Ed, these tours provide a great opportunity to peek in some of the really unique private homes of Key West, and many of them have had some tremendous restoration projects. You don't want to miss this, by the way. Next Friday, January 18th, going up to Key Largo, the Ocean Life Lecture Series 2013. This month will feature Coastal Carnivores. It'll be a presentation by scientists from Florida International University. Ed, we're just halfway through January right now in Alamorada, the Art Under the Oaks Festival. That will be at the San Pedro Church Gardens on Saturday, January 19th. Big Pine in the Lower Keys, the 9th Annual Big Pine Key Nautical Flea Market, January 19th to the 20th. Alamorada, January 19th, the Keys Community Concert Band presents Hooked on Classics. It'll be a free concert at the Capital Bank Amphitheater at Alamorada's Founders Park. Also the same weekend, Ed, in Alamorada, the North American Championship and Tradewinds Midwinter Open Catamaran Nationals. And another running event in Key West, Sunday, January 20th. It is the Key West Half Marathon. Another huge sailing event, Ed, in Key West, January 20th to the 25th. It is the annual Key West Race Week. More than 100 racing yachts will be in Key West for this event. They'll have teams representing 12 different countries and 24 American states. Big event at the end of the month coming up in Alamorada, the annual Alamorada Fine Art Expo. That'll be January 26th and 27th, again at the Maraudaway Art District, mile marker 81 through mile marker 82. Back to Key West, January 26th to the 27th, the 28th Annual Key West Craft Show. Ed, there are still many more events in January in the Keys. Go to the Keys website at flakeys.com to view those. But quickly, February, first of all, we've got coming up here, the Waterfront Playhouse is presenting 6 dance lessons in 6 weeks. That's in Key West. And in Key Largo, January 31st to February 16th, the Keys Players Community Theater will be presenting On Golden Pond. February 2nd to the 3rd in Alamorada, the Florida Keys Art Guild presents its art festival at the Post Garden Inn Beach Resort and Marina. And February 4th, Waterfront Playhouse in Key West, behind the scenes. Another tremendous and different event in Big Pond in the Lower Keys, February 4th to the 10th, the 29th Annual Winter Star Party. Some 600 amateur and professional astronomers down in the Florida Keys. We have some of the best viewing in the entire United States in the Lower Keys, watching those stars and watching those southern constellations. And finally, Ed, February 8th to the 10th in Key West, it's the Civil War Days Heritage Festival. colorful Civil War reenactments, the roar of cannon fire, and the sight of about 100 reenactor soldiers. They'll all be at the Fort Zachary Taylor Historic State Park. Ed, so much to do and so much to see in the fabulous Florida Keys. Much more information on my Keys website. It's flakeys.com.
Exciting. That's the always informative Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Happy New Year to you again, Andy, and enjoy your weekend, sir.
Thank you very much, Ed. Happy New Year to you.
Let me please add tonight the Jacob Jeffries Band and Alan Stone perform as part of the Downtown Miami Concert Series tonight at 6:30 at Bayfront Park. It's all ages and it's free. Sweat Records and Sutro present the release party for the new vinyl single by popular Miami dance rock band Crisp tonight at Churchill's, 5501 Northeast 2nd Avenue. Doors open there at 9 o'clock. For the cover charge, you'll also get a copy of the limited edition record. For more info, go to sweatrecordsmiami.com. And don't forget, the Arsht Center presents a free community celebration and live television simulcast commemorating the presidential inauguration January 21st. For more info, go to arshtcenter.org. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme is composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our great contributors, Judith Bishop, Bob Weinberg, and Andy Newman. We'd like to hear from you. Call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.
Can we fight cancer by attacking?